This is Open Talk. In this program, we talk with people in a close and friendly way about what they're doing or even just about their lives. Our website is opentalk.us. The views and opinions of our guests are not necessarily those of this station or its management. We present this program for your consideration.
We refer to ourselves and what we play as high-octane Christian blues. Let's live on the edge here a little bit and be politically incorrect in Silicon Valley, and let's just do a Christian blues song while we're here. That if you look at blues lyrics, and if you look at our blues lyrics, they're not particularly complicated.
This is James All, and I'm here with Crimson Blues. Why don't you give us some introduction of who you are, guys?
Hello, I'm Mark. I'm lead singer and play rhythm and slide guitar.
Hey there, I'm Brad Marsh, and I am a lead guitarist as well and do some rhythm here and there. I also play the kazoo.
And I'm Bill Mullary, and I'm a drummer and a conga player.
And I'm Scott Christian. I'm the second drummer and rhythm player.
No, there's also other members in the band. They weren't able to come, though.
Yes, there's two other members who could not make it today. There's June Lagmay, who is our awesome bass player, and Rich Greenwood, who plays harmonica, otherwise known in the blues world as a harp.
Now, the way I found out about you guys was through an email about you guys coming to town. So
yes.
For those of you listening, they're going to be here on January 5th. We'll talk about this again some more, but January 5th, coming up here at 4 p.m., now, there's a cost for the concerts, $5 per person, or it's $15 per family. So it's not a free event, but that's not a lot considering how much a concert could cost, especially with an accomplished band. Mark, you're the leader? Would that be a safe way to put it?
I guess so. I'm the front man for sure.
The front man for what?
Well, for the band.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just clarifying there.
Yeah. Yes. So I guess I would be considered the leader of the band and the front man of the band.
Mark's being very humble. He, of course, is the songwriter and the creator of most of what we do. We collaborate on a lot of stuff, but a lot of it comes out of him. And we laugh during practices because sometimes we'll start with a little rhythm and a song will just fly out. And they says, well, there's another new one.
Yeah, we just did that last week or two, as a matter of fact. During practice, someone will just be playing something, and the mood will strike us to kind of play along and jam with them. It's just sort of an off-the-cuff, impromptu thing, and the idea for a song will come from that. I have kind of a strange process of songwriting.
Okay, well, we'll talk some more about that.
Yes.
I'm just mostly trying to help our listeners understand where you're coming from to begin with. So now, blues is not real popular in most Christian circles.
So well,
why that choice? Why not just do something else
well,
or praise it?
Well, I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding about blues. There's a lot more in the world of blues than people realize. And the reason why do we do blues? Well, it's because I love blues, okay? It's just the music that I love. It's what's in my heart. It's what energizes me. It's become the musical language in my soul. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's Christian blues is because I want to put that at the foot of the cross.
Okay. That's a good reason to do it, you know? I don't think that what we are in our lives shouldn't be any different than everything else we do.
Yeah.
So... to me, blues is always sort of a lamenting sound.
Well, and that's what I wanted to add. I don't think people realize, and when we do actually play or they hear us, they have a whole different perspective. This is hand clapping and foot stomping up on your feet and just great rhythms and great music and great words to the music and a great message that we like to present.
Well, I'm going to use my cheat sheet here. It says high octane.
So we refer to ourselves and what we play as high-octane Christian blues. And by high-octane, we mean that we juice it up and we energize it. Because obviously, I discovered blues later in my life. I grew up as a kid listening to rock and roll.
Okay.
Now, rock and roll and blues have a very symbiotic relationship. They fit together really well because rock and roll really came out of blues in many ways. And so we do blues music that's very rocked up, that's very energized, which is why we call it high octane. But the other thing I want to point out, too, is you'd mentioned of how a lot of people think of blues as a kind of music that's just lament.
Right.
In other words, you know, I feel bad, da-da-da-da. And The truth is that's a part of blues, and it's a very important part of blues origins. But really, blues music covers all different facets of human life, all different parts of the human experience. It's brutally honest about the fact that life is hard and tough and painful, and it ends up being kind of a therapeutic thing where we discover, you know, we're all in this hardship together. That's part of what blues in general does. And we enhance that playing Christian blues because we say, you know, yes, life is hard. We have all these adversities, and Jesus Christ is the answer.
Hmm. See, a lot of times you'll see, you'll hear a story or you'll see a movie or you'll hear a song, and it's great up into the fact that, you know, I'm suffering and my life is horrible, but there's no connection to something good coming out of it. It ends tragically.
Right.
Hopefully that's in what we do, I know, and what we try to do in the radio, and what you guys, it sounds like you're doing in your music, we try to show that it doesn't have to end badly. You know, if we believe what the Word says, that all things work together for good for those who love Him or call according to His purpose, then that's true. It has to happen that way. Something good comes out of it, out of the suffering, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think sometimes people forget that, you know, in order to have real redemption, you have to have an honesty. An honest facing of the hardship that you're going through and the real, the truth of our own depravity. You can't have redemption without that. And the truth that comes through with the blues and facing of this is the way life is, this is the way human nature is. When you have that honesty and people can kind of relate to that and bear their own soul, I think it prepares the heart to receive the message of the gospel and the truth that Jesus speaks into our hearts.
Yeah. Well, you have to see your need.
Yeah, yeah.
And people don't realize that, well, I can do it on my own. Oh, that's great, you know? That's yeah. great, you know? I don't know. I can't do it on my own. I don't know how they can do it.
Well, the real transforming work of Christ happens when a person really, when it really hits a person about how lost and broken they are.
So as an example, Mark, share how you wrote the one song when you thought you were going to get laid off and it was a test of faith for you.
Oh, okay, yeah, so there's a song we do called One Way Ticket. In fact, that's probably will be one of the live ones we'll play later.
Okay.
So there was a tune that I wrote called One Way Ticket, and I wrote this song after I had gone through a little bit of a personal hardship where I was laid off and looking for another job, and we have all the uncertainty and anxiety that comes with that. And when I wrote this song, the point of the song was not to tell the world that, okay, God is good and God is trustworthy, and when you have hard times, He'll take care of you. The point of the song was for me to remind myself that God is good and God is trustworthy, and He's the one who will take care of you. And it was my way of working through the tough question of, even if my circumstances go bad, even if I don't get another job, even if we lose the house and lose everything, is God still good? Mm-hmm. And I had to work through that difficult question. And this song was my way of answering it for myself.
I think we forget the verse that says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, you know, people used to give me a hard time. Well, you don't even know faith. And I got older and I learned more about that verse. I go, I guess I don't. But that has nothing to do with me. That's because I haven't heard the word, or the Father hasn't given it to me. Because it's not faith. It's something that belief is what I do. Faith is when. So when you were going through that, basically, when you told you went through the process, Mark, you're basically telling yourself the word, and that's how you got faith.
Yeah.
That things would be okay no matter what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's amazing. Now, are all your songs come out the same way, or do some of them come from a different? You write them differently, or they happen differently.
It's a funny thing. The way that I do songwriting, I'm not even sure if it's really the proper way to do it, but this is just how I do it, which is that strangely random things that I will hear will end up resulting in a song idea. And so as an example, just some particular chord pattern. One time Brad was just noodling around during practice playing a couple of guitar chords in a certain sequence.
Which happens a lot.
Or other times it will be, literally, I kid you not, just the tone of how a guitar sounds. You know, we're interested in tone, you know, a lot when we're playing blues. You know, we want that rich, beautiful retro tone. And certain guitar tones just make you feel a certain way. Yeah. And these kind of strangely random things, they'll invoke a feeling within me. Uh-huh. And then out of the feeling comes some conceptual idea you know, that just happens to somehow connect with that feeling. And that conceptual idea then translates into the words of the song.
I think that one of these days when you are in the New Jerusalem, you'll find something else. You'll find out what else, something else is going on, or something else about the music. See, because the deeper science is that sounds or certain frequencies or certain types of songs also have certain effects on us because of the science. The more we learn, the more right. we start to understand what the Father is so much more complex, and he made the world so much more complex than we can possibly imagine.
Yeah, we've been wired so that music has emotional responses within us.
The problem is you have to be careful what response we get from it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the reasons I think Mark and I clicked music-wise so easily was I definitely am a player that I play from feeling, and I'm an improv player. I'm not good at reading music. I'm a worship player. I play the blues, but everything is how a note feels. And actually, from the time I was a real little kid, I don't know if I've told the band this, but when I hear a particular note or a sound, I oftentimes will picture a color or just kind of get a picture in my mind. And and when you play something that really strikes your heart, it's like your synapses just light up. It's just, and you know, putting it together and something that matches the words, that to me is music. And I think so often Christian music is cookie cutter. We're gonna create a chord progression that is selling, and we'll slap some Christian ease over top of it. And, you know, let's make the Christian Coldplay, but we'll have Christian lyrics over it. But the words don't match the music. And so that's why I love our band, because the words match, the feeling matches the blues that we're playing. And there's such a delta grittiness and influences in our band that just, it seems to really match the grittiness of real life.
Now, before we go further, I really want to go back and go back to how you got started in this, Mark. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know, that gives some sort of dynamics of...
I'll try to make a long story short, and Bill, feel free to chime in. So, I had previously played in a secular blues band, which was fine. I'm one of those guys who has no problem going out and playing secular tunes, too. And, in fact, we'll go out and play jam sessions in bars and stuff.
But when did you actually get started, though?
Yeah, so...
With music itself. How far back does your music go in your
body? Well, my music goes back to when I was 15, but I discovered blues about 8 or 9 years ago. Okay. So a couple of years back, I was in a secular blues band, and for a short time, a couple of months, Bill came in and was the drummer in the band. We discovered we had a common interest, because obviously we both like blues, but we're also both Christians. And I found out that, in fact, some years before, back in the 90s, Bill had played in another Christian blues band, which was actually a very good, accomplished band. So a funny thing happened. We were just, this band was playing at a block party, just for fun, and I had invited Brad also to come out and hang out, just to sit in and play with us for fun. Mm-hmm. Well, we find out at this block party, somebody tells us, says, now, a lot of the people on this block, you guys, they're like church-going people, and so they like to have a big group prayer before they eat when they do block parties, and we don't want you to be freaked out or anything about that. And I thought to myself, I didn't say this, I thought to myself, freaked out, are you kidding? You know, right on, I'm right at home, go for it. You guys, you know, you pray and go for it. And so now, here we are, you know, Bill is a Christian at the drum sets, Brad's sitting in and he's a Christian, and we love blues, and I say, you know what? Let's live on the edge here a little bit and be politically incorrect in Silicon Valley, and let's just do a Christian blues song while we're here. And I happened, you know, there was one I happened to know that I could, that was easy recall, and we did that. And we played this song, and nobody threw tomatoes. And it was, you know, and we had our fun. And
or any other fruit.
So, yeah, and so a couple of weeks later, I'm on vacation up in Oregon. I'm sitting out, you know, in the back of this rented apartment watching seagulls fight over garbage. And I get a text message from Bill that says, would you like to start a gospel blues band? And so I kind of gave back a response that said, well, yeah, that might be something interesting. We should get on the phone and chat and discuss this. And I was kind of, you know, playing it a little cool just to scope the thing out, because the truth in my heart was absolutely, yes, I've been waiting years for this. So
I was actually between assignments, because I'm a limo driver. I go, wow, you know, I think I want to ask Mark and maybe he won't, but maybe he will. So I just texted him, and I said, how would you like to start a Christian blues band? And then just took it from there. And then that's how it evolved, because I told him that I knew a harmonica player and I knew a bass player that I played with before, and let's try and check it out and see what we can make of it. And so that was the beginning.
And then I knew another guitarist, which is Brad, because he and I go to the same church, and I had discovered that he had an interest in blues also. So I thought, well, okay, there's some other possibilities for a guitar player, you know, if he's not up to it and you're not interested, but I'll give him first dibs because I'd really kind of like him to be my first pick. So I went and told him, said, hey, we've got this Christian blues band idea in the works. If you're interested, you got first dibs. And I seem to recall you said yes, like in a fraction of a second.
Oh, yeah. You know, it took me about 0.2 seconds to decide that I wanted to do that. And, you know, it's funny because around that same time, I had decided some time ago that I really wanted to play music, and I really wanted to play in a band that was a Christian band. I was playing in worship, but I just decided at any opportunity that I had to play, I wanted to say yes to, because I wanted to experience that. I wanted to develop as a player. And when Mark asked me, I jumped at it. And then I heard that members of this band, I'm going to say the name, was Good News Blues, who I had watched, you know, as when I was 18 and just was blown away by.
That was Bill's previous band that I mentioned.
Exactly. And, you know, and I heard I would be playing with those guys. I was just blown away. So it's been a real blessing. I'm glad that he's kept me around.
Well, Brad, you're the youngest guy in the group, aren't you?
Yes, I'm the ripe old age of 36.
And I'm the senior member.
Are you? Yeah, but you can't tell by looking at him. You know. Do we want to say how old you are, Bill?
I'm 64.
Really? Yeah. Oh, dear Lord. How do you do it? I get plenty of sleep and lots of makeup.
Oh, he is the loudest drummer I've ever played with, man. Yep. He can hit those skins, and it's great. Mm.
Now, well, how do you decide where to go to play your music, though? Is it just a case where somebody invites you?
It's pretty much a case of where someone invites us, because I don't know any other way to go and just find a place to play.
Well, I mean, I didn't know if there was, like, cases where you've, you know, contacted different churches or stuff. Some groups will...
Well, we have approached places that we're interested in playing. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, they have to turn around and say, yes, we'd like you to come.
Of course.
We've reached out to a couple of different recovery programs, and we got some opportunities to go play there. There was a recent one that we just added that's over in the peninsula part of the Bay Area.
Okay.
And we went and played a couple of weeks back for the first time, and they seemed to like it because we've ended up in their regular rotation now.
Why do you think they liked it, though?
Well, I think they liked it for the same reason that other recovery programs have, which is because, for whatever reason, the kind of music that we're playing really resonates with people who are coming from these backgrounds of being in recovery, same at City Team with the homeless guys, playing at a prison ministry. This blues music is very brutally honest, very raw. In the first place, it's brutally frank about the hardships. And that resonates with these people. And for whatever reason, the musical style of blues, it seems to click with these folks as well. And then when you add the gospel message that, you know, there's hope in Jesus Christ to get you through the struggles that you're having, it seems like that must be a perfect storm that really resonates with folks in that situation strongly. And we've been amazed because if you go and you play music for a recovery program, you typically stay and sit through the part where somebody speaks, and then people get up and have a sharing time at the end. And people will get up and tell stories, and you realize the hardships in my life are absolutely nothing compared to what these people are going through.
Yeah, we were talking beforehand, and I mentioned how most people think I'm suffering. I go, no, you're inconvenienced. You had a bad day. You're not really suffering. You're not really, you know, people go, well, I'm poor. No, you're not. You got color TV. You got a car.
Yeah.
You still have a place to live. Poor people don't have, you know, wonder if they're going to have enough food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's poor people.
Yeah,
poor people.
So I have what I perceive as hardships in my life, and there's some challenges, I'm sure. But then you go there, and somebody gets up at sharing time and says, my son was shot and killed last week because of the part of town they live in. Mm. Or somebody who is surrounded by everyone around them in their life trying to talk them into going back and getting high one more time, and they're trying as a matter of life and death to not do it, you know? And
well, and the danger is with stuff like that is that it could be your last time.
Yeah. And these, you know, these people, they're in a life and death struggle, and that's not an expression. It's sometimes the truth.
But I want to add that one of the things I think that's key about the band and the style of the music that we play, it's like musical comfort food. It's simple, it's easy to understand, and it's a great beat and a great rhythm played with a lot of passion and intensity. It's almost impossible to sit and listen to it. People inevitably, they're up on their feet, they're clapping their hands, and there's been times when we play songs that, you know, that they recognize, like This Little Light of Mine, that they are singing so loud as we are playing, I can hear them up on the stage.
Yeah, I was previewing music. I haven't heard that song since the 70s when I was in high school.
At the church.
They used to sing that. They did a little different version of it, though. You know.
Well, that's right. Well, we made it high octane.
No, it's just different. It's actually a different song almost. They mixed two different songs together.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And so I was waiting for you to go to the other part, and I go, oh, not everybody knows that version.
Well, you know, and I'm still a young player, so my octane is still at 89, but as I develop, I'm hoping to get to 92.
Oh, really? Does it take longer to get to the higher level?
So here's Scott mentioned about how our music is kind of more down to earth and back to basics in a lot of ways. And that is true. This is true generally about blues music in general, and so it's true in our case as well, which is that if you look at blues lyrics, and if you look at our blues lyrics, they're not particularly complicated. They're not trying to be particularly clever or philosophical or profound. It's like what I was saying before, though. They're just trying to be very brutally honest about the adversities of life and how you get through them and who you need to look to get through them. And so our music and our lyrics, it will be a little different probably than some of the mainstream contemporary Christian stuff that you hear, because our focus of how we talk about things and what we talk about is a little different.
I think one of the key things you'll notice as well about the music is not only Mark's voice, he's got a great voice for this kind of music, but the slide guitar that he plays. The Lord has absolutely blessed him with the ability to do this, and not everybody gets to hear a slide guitar like that. And Mark actually brought a guitar that's on our shirt for the band. It's called a Resonator, and it's this all chrome looking guitar, but it's got the most unique sound you've ever heard. So people, when we play, get to hear many different kinds of instruments in a style they've never heard before.
That's too bad we hate how music changes. Sometimes it's not always for the best. Well, we're going to take a short break, and you guys are going to play us a song.
Okay. The song is called One Way Ticket. I mentioned this earlier in the interview. This is a song that I wrote to remind myself that I needed to trust God, and even if my circumstances in life went bad, that He's still good and I need to trust Him. So.
Tribulations too, when it's more Jesus treats me kind. I got a one-way ticket. One-way ticket to my home.
I want to thank you for joining us for this segment of Open Talk with the high-octane band called Crimson Blues. Christian Blues Band, that is. If you want more information, you can find out about them at facebook.com/ Crimson Blues Band.
You've been listening to Open Talk. If you'd like more information about this program or any episode, you can go to our website at opentalk.us. That's opentalk.us. The views and opinions of our guests are not necessarily those of this station or its management. We hope you will join us next time for another edition of Open Talk. This program is a production of Central Coast Christian Radio. Thanks for listening.